do experience.
Hey! So today I'm going to be talking about two more topics on the list that I had factors to consider before working with an influencer. One of the topics is influencer relationship maintenance, and the other one is how to find influencers, because that will take us to our next note card, basically, where I've written down points on how to get in touch with or where to find influencers and how to decide who to work with, etc. So I'm going to be talking about influencer relationship maintenance and management first. Before you even reach out to an influencer, like I said, these are things that you need to consider, because if you have a plan, you're more likely to execute it properly. Relationship maintenance in the sense that they mustn't forget about you. When you work with them, they obviously, assuming they've had a great experience, you've had a great experience, you've had results. Because if you have, if you see results working with a particular influencer, then you probably want to work with them again. And if you want to do that, then even if you don't have a campaign currently running, you should still remain in their memory, at the top of their head, recall, as they say. And one of the ways to do this is, of course, gifting, which I've said earlier. It isn't ideal because it means that there is always a budget you need to save up for this. But what happens is that if you keep sending them stuff like every 3 months, then they remember you. They are influencers who are professional and who work on the basis of relationships. They tend to post about brands that they want to work with, even if money is not involved. I think looking at every post as how much money am I making in this is not a good way to build a relationship in the long run for an influencer anyway. Similarly, for a brand, you know, not every relationship is with an influencer is where, oh my God, what am I getting in return? Sometimes it's just that, you know, if you worked with them, they were nice. You had a professional working relationship with them and you want to maintain that relationship. So you can, I mean, reach out to them, send them an email once in a while. Maybe talk to them about how you've seen the latest campaign that they're working on and what you think are the good things, etc. One of the things that I hear from influencers, bloggers, photographers, everyone, all independent creatives in general, is that they don't get enough feedback from brands or clients that they've worked with. And I can vouch for it. I barely get any feedback. I have forcefully tried to call up my clients and brands after an assignment has been delivered and some results have been seen. And I've asked that, what is your feedback? Candidly, tell me what do you think worked? What didn't work? And usually they just tell me that, oh, it was great, we loved it, etc. That's not good enough feedback. I think usually that I get that kind of feedback maybe because the brand probably never started out with like a goal. They were probably just testing to see how it works, how influencer marketing works. So they didn't really have a goal in mind, which is why I keep saying that you must have some sort of a goal in mind before you even start talking to an influencer. You need to have a campaign in mind. You need to have your brand story down, etc. Because it makes no sense. I mean, after you know, you're spending money, you're working with me. I've put in a lot of hard work and I deliver what I think is great, but it might not have worked for the brand. And how will we build a relationship if you don't come back and tell me that, hey, you know, we think the visuals were great, but we don't really think, you know, we got any results from it. So if you come back and tell me that, then I'll be like, okay, so what results were you expecting? And, you know, what did you get in exchange? So you have to set that expectations and things like that, because without that, what's the point of doing this? If you have a lot of budget and money to throw around, I get it. Maybe you do. Some brands don't. And a lot of them just do it for the sake of experimentation. Another competitor in the same category has done influencer marketing. So they're curious and they want to see, oh, you know, how does this work? Let's figure it out. But it's still, you are getting some results, right? So what are those results? And you must tell the influencer if in your opinion or according to your metrics, it was a successful campaign. Because then that gives that influencer a testimonial to share with other prospective client brands. Give a testimonial to the influencer. Say that, hey, you know, we really enjoyed working with you. We have specific feedback and we would love to leave you a testimonial that you can use on your website for future clients. That's really valuable. And an influencer will appreciate that because it's like marketing for them. It'll help them get more work. So even if the influencer doesn't ask for it, give them a testimonial, send them an email with a follow-up after the project. Tell them that, you know, these were the 5 things that really worked for us. And these were the areas where we learned something new and we thought maybe, you know, you might find it useful. Sure, sometimes it might not work. You might work with an influencer thinking, oh my God, they have so many followers on Instagram. Let me work with them. We'll make a lot of sales and then nothing really happens. So, yeah, you have to experiment a bit to figure out who are the influencers that are valuable, who you should actually be working with, etc. That takes a little bit of time. And you shouldn't like really jump headfirst into it. I just, as a case study, I got a call from a prospective client today. They're in the personal care and fragrance business. And they wrote to me a couple of days ago saying that they wanted to work with me as a blogger, as an influencer. And I got on a call with them today. And I asked them that if they had worked with any influencers earlier. And they hadn't. That, I think, is a huge opportunity for an influencer to engage with a client and, you know, guide them on how it works. Because, of course, it also depends on what kind of a call or what kind of an email it is. It's not, it wasn't one of those, hey, you know, I've never worked with someone. Can I pick your brains? Please don't do that. That's just, that makes me feel like you don't respect my time. This was someone who got in touch with me for business and, you know, they had a clear idea that they wanted to work with me. And I was like, okay, look, you haven't worked with, influencer earlier. So this is what I would recommend. And what I recommended to them was that you first start with gifting. First, send me something from your product line. What, depending on what you want me to promote. So they were like, we want to promote the brand in general. It's not just about the product. So I said, well, there are 2 ways of doing it. One way of doing it is that you, talk specifically just about the product. So I can photograph with the product. I can do photos of the product, flat lays, style the product like a lifestyle shoot. Or I could actually carry the product and pose with it, which are the photos that do best on Instagram. So even if it's a selfie, I get so many likes. And it might be the most artistic photo I think I've shot of something else and I'll get like 50 likes on that. So you need to understand what works for all kinds of brands and all kinds of influencers. My case is a little different because for me, it's a mix of photos of me, which are maybe 1 in 6. And the rest of it are, you know, street photos that I do or the portrait series that I do or a photography client that I worked with. So I also promote the work that I did for a photography client, like recently what I shot for Sotheby's. They didn't ask me to do social media per se. But it was a deliverable that I like to do because it's my way of showcasing my portfolio. Now, this fragrance client who called me had no idea that I was also a photographer. So she was like, oh, yeah, you know, we are actually looking for a photographer also. And I was like, ideally, that would be great. You decide what kind of photos you need. You tell me. And the showcasing on the blog and the social media is for free because I'm showcasing my portfolio anyway. I don't like charging for, you know, per Instagram update or per tweet because I value my network. I don't really want them to feel like I'm just constantly selling products. For me, it's a showcase of my photography skills at the end of the day. So any client who is looking or any brand who's looking to do influencer marketing, you need to understand what the strengths of that particular influencer are and if you want to engage with them. I think a lot of influencers are known, they're famous for being famous, if you know what I mean. I don't know if that's ideal for a brand to work with. I mean, I think they can be part of your influencer marketing strategy, but I don't think they should be the only influencers you work with. You should look at other influencers. Like, for example, in the fragrance business, you could look at beauty bloggers because beauty is it's about somehow being a better version of yourself, wearing the armor to, you know, go out and meet the world, etc. Fragrances are in that category, for example. Or, you know, you could work with someone who works in the wellness and well-being space. Someone who does yoga, for example. So they could do yoga with one of your candles lit there and say that, oh, this fragrance really works for my yoga practice. So you need to look at people who are influential, not for being influential, but, you know, influential in their... So if for example, a photography related brand, like a camera brand was to get in touch with me for a marketing activity, my audience would be really well suited for that, because a lot of people follow me for my photography. Fellow photographers, amateurs, professionals, people who like looking at good photographs. So, you know, I might be able to showcase a camera to them which they probably haven't even considered earlier, for example. Or new equipment that is on market, lighting stuff, etc., etc. So it's not just about working with an influencer. It's about someone who has influence. And that someone could be a professional in any genre, literally. Like, you know, food bloggers, for example, you don't have to be a food brand to work with a food blogger. You could be a tableware home decor brand, because a food blogger is going to set up their, you know, recipes and set up their whatever they're chopping and put a nice table display and shoot. So you're promoting your products. You could be someone who does furniture, for example, and you could collaborate with a food blogger. So you have to think a little differently. Don't just say that, oh, we need to work with a blogger or an influencer who's already worked in the category. It's not necessarily really. It could be somebody totally different from what you've considered, because you'll be tapping an audience that has not been exposed to a product or a brand from your category previously. So that's a totally untapped potential market. So I told this fragrance brand that, you know, it's not just about me posing with your photos. I could also, for example, what I specialize in, which is behind the scenes, which is, you know, me coming to your factory and actually photographing how the products are made. And I could do portraits of the people who work there. And, you know, 5-line stories about those people. How did they come to work with that brand? Maybe they're local people who work there. They could make for some really interesting portraits, interesting stories to tell. Look, influencer marketing isn't just about put a product, advertise it, and you're done. It's a brand building exercise. So I get really excited about all this, but I'm always thinking that, I don't know, the client must be thinking I'm trying to like hard sell it or something, which I'm not. I'm just like, there are so many ways of doing it, which will be so valuable to the brand in the long run. Like, how can you not see it? So I try to tone myself down a little bit these days, because I don't want to overwhelm a newbie brand that has never worked with an influencer earlier. But at the same time, I do want them to consider that they don't just look at it from one lens, that we've done advertising like this previously and this is how we should be doing it. There are so many ways of doing it. So I gave them this idea that, you know, you could actually have a behind the scenes of your factory. I didn't tell them this, but I could actually go to the factory, and if it has a nice location, I could do a personal style shoot there with the factory in the backdrop. That would be a bit like indirect marketing. So I say, you know, location courtesy. For example, I work with hotels here in Delhi and Gurgaon, and I say, oh, location courtesy, this hotel. And I tag the brand's handle in the post that I do on Insta and on the blog, etc. So that is indirect marketing. And depending on the kind of personal style I'm shooting there, the brand gets attached with that kind of look and feel, etc. So that's another way of, you know, doing it. So there are so many things I could do. But I did suggest that initially, if you've never worked with an influencer, your expectations of what it would deliver could be very different from how it actually works. So it's better that you start out with gifting. So they did tell me that they'll probably send me a list of products, and then I can tell them what all I want, because I did recommend to them that it should ideally be something that I want. Don't just send anything. But they are in the process of rebranding currently, so we'll probably have to wait for once the rebrand is done and they actually have all their products ready. And yeah, that's how you start. So, you know, once I get the products, if I like them, which I think I should, because the way I spoke to them and the way they spoke to me, it was a really nice conversation. They were professional about it. They were very upfront and clear about where they stood and what they wanted, etc. So this whole thing of, you know, people calling up and pretending like they know what they're doing is really stupid. It gets nowhere. Neither am I able to help you because I have no context. Neither are you able to openly ask me questions that might actually be relevant and helpful. Luckily, these guys were like the total opposite. They were really nice and they were totally upfront about what kind of you know, questions they had, and that they never worked with an influencer earlier. And, you know, people say, oh, but if we tell you what our budget is, then you will charge us that much. And my, again, like the last time I said, you have the budget, spend it. And if you tell me that, okay, look, you know, my budget is X amount of money, then I can say, okay, look, this is the first time we're doing it. Maybe I can come up with something and make it work and do some extra stuff for you, because I'm in it for the long run. My goal, as or any influencer's goal generally, should be that you work with a brand in a way that they keep coming back to you. It's not ever about a standalone assignment. We want to work with brands. We want to work with them again and again. We want to be able to be so comfortable with them that we can suggest and say that, hey, you know, maybe you can look at this kind of an assignment the next time, which would, you know, address a different part of the brand or the brand's value or the brand's image, etc. So we want to build a relationship as well. I mean, I'm more than happy when brands send me free stuff to post, at least at the very least, an Insta story. Posting on Instagram a proper photo, etc. is a little harder because I am now doing a totally curated editorial look feed. I try not to post just, you know, selfie photos or phone photos. I want the lighting to be a certain way, etc. So when I'm doing that, then that takes a little bit of effort. And again, it depends how nice, you know, the person was on the phone, what kind of products did they actually send me, the general feel of it. Sometimes if it's really nice, I might just do an Insta update. So do that first is what I recommended to them. It's going to be a low budget commitment. And then see how the influencer responds to your brand. Like, did they do an Insta story? What all did they say about it? What were their questions? If their audience responded to that Insta story, for example, what were the questions did they, you know, that they got? Did the influencer share those questions with you? And if they shared those questions with you, did you answer those questions? Once you answered those questions, did the influencer go back and respond to the audience queries? You have to look at things like this and then decide that, okay, you know what? This influencer sounds right for us. They're willing to go the extra mile for us, even just on the basis of a gift. And maybe then you can actually explore a budget with them and plan out a campaign. Even for this brand, the fragrance brand that I keep talking about, I recommended that ideally, for example, you know, a 1 month, 2 month, three month campaign would make more sense. Where I do, like, you know, 12 to 15 photographs in one blog post. So there is a nice feature that I do. It's a photo story. I talk about the brand, what I did, what the assignment was, and there are links to the brand's website, etc. And then I post each photo on my Instagram, for example, one every week. So if I'm posting one photo every week and if I have four photos, that's a month-long campaign, you know? And every month, every week, you're reminding the audience that, oh, you know, this is what had happened. Check it out on the blog. There is a hashtag, etc. So ideally, I think that works. A one-time post, really, I mean, people forget. As it is, because of the attention span these days, it's important to keep bringing it back without making it look spammy. I think once a week, maximum maybe twice a week, once in 4 days is what I would suggest, not more than that. Unless you're actually on assignment, like for a photographer, I can actually do that. That I post at least one update daily about this assignment that I'm on, you know. And it creates a nice, like, okay, story. Okay, this is what she did yesterday. This is what she's doing today. What are the plans for tomorrow? And you look at all these photos are nice. There's a story being told. The audience is engaged. They know about the brand. They learn about the brand. So that's another way to do it. There's so many ways to do it. I think this whole misconception of, you know, working with people who are famous for being famous, I don't think that really works for the brand. And you must think about intelligently spending your budget there. Okay, that went on way longer than I had planned because I included the case study. So you maintain a relationship with an influencer, keep talking to them, send them an email, compliment them on their new campaign, which might be for a different brand altogether. Say things like, oh, that was really cool. Maybe we can look at, you know, doing it when we have our next campaign. Reach out to them in advance. Send them small stuff. It doesn't need to be expensive. It could be a, I don't know, like a bottle of shampoo or whatever. So if they like your product, you can do stuff like that. Don't send them products from your thing. You could send them anything. Like if you know that they like mangoes, for example, send them a kg of mangoes. If you know that they like beer, send them a case of beer. Do stuff like that because look, at the end of the day, you're making a friend. You might, whatever brand you're working at right now, you might move from that brand to another brand tomorrow, but you will take that relationship with you. So it's not even, you know, as an influencer, I'm more interested in sitting down and talking to the person across the table than just being like, arey, kitna paisa mil raha hai. You know, money will come. If you're good at what you do, if you are professional, you have integrity, and you have all these clients behind you are happy to give you references, money is not the problem. My biggest pain point is working on assignments that excite me. I don't want to do the old or a product pakad ke pose kar diya. I'll still do that because I, as it is, leave a lot of money on the table because I say no to a lot of standalone Twitter and Instagram assignments. But sometimes if the money is good and the brand kind of understands that I need my autonomy when I decide what to write and how to shoot it, I'll still do it. But I prefer doing stories, you know, that are like, oh, wow, so cool. Like, I recently did this campaign with Instagram. Instagram India got us access to the Rashtrapati Bhavan, insides of the Rashtrapati Bhavan. It's on my blog. I posted it this week. And there are lots of photos, so be patient. But, you know, it wasn't a paid gig. It was, I think, an opportunity that I had been waiting for the last 5 years. Because the last time I went there was in 2012. Which is when I learned that you can go inside. It is open to the public. But you can't photograph. My problem is that, boss, if you don't allow photography, I'm not going in. Because I like sharing what I have experienced. Like, it's a bit of an obsession. But I like sharing whatever I have seen. So I like taking pictures and I like being able to come back and blog about it, tweet about it, put it on Instagram, share it on Facebook. So when they say, oh, no photography allowed, I generally don't even go and see that stuff. So I was like, okay, I mean, if photography is not allowed, I'm not going. And then Instagram got in touch, about 5-7 days ago. And that said that, hey, you know, this Sunday, we're taking 10 Instagrammers from India to go to the Rashtrapati Bhavan inside and you can photograph it. And I was like, I'm down. I mean, not just because I wanted to photograph the insides, which I did. I wanted to see it also. I mean, the Rashtrapati Bhavan is the president's, residence in India. And I was like, hey, you know, I want to do this. But the other imperative for me was that, hey, it's Instagram. And I would love to work with Instagram. I want them to know that I am a great photographer. And it's like a marketing thing for me. My other clients will see that, oh, hey, you know, so Instagram worked with Naina. So it's also a brand building activity. It's not just about, oh, for every post, how much money am I getting? Or that Instagram had only asked us for X number of posts. So I should just do that and forget about it. I blogged about it. There are over 70 photos. I'm going to be posting at least 50 of them on Instagram over the next 2 months. So, yeah, I mean, it's really, you need to understand that this is not, I charge X amount for every update. So what will you do if no one works with you? So you have to be in the game because you like the game. And I love blogging. I love photography. I love being able to share what I do. And I tend to over-deliver way more than any client has ever asked me for. So it's this, again, with brands that maintain a relationship with me once in a while, they'll be like, oh, hey, you know, how you're doing? And it's so cool. And I'll find an update on their Insta feed and I'll repost it, which I'm not getting paid for. Again, I don't like putting that, oh, this is unpaid or whatever. But that's my feed. That's what I like doing. And it is really important to do that because you're building a relationship at the end of the day. Tomorrow, you don't know. I mean, even if you're working with a smaller influencer in a small town, they might actually have a very attentive audience all to themselves because they're the only influencer in that city. So you need to understand these things and see what is most relevant for your brand and who are the influencers that can help your brand go up that ladder and be recognized by more people, etc. Having an endorsement from an influencer who has high credibility with their audience, for example, is excellent. You know, if someone, for example, I never talk about products that I don't like. Like if I like a product, I'm going to talk about it whether I've been paid to talk about it or not. If I don't believe in the product or the product's message, I'm not going to talk about it. So, you know, recently I did a campaign for Horlicks on Instagram. It was just one Instagram update. But their message was about how as we get older, our bones lose strength. It was specific to women. It was specific to bone density. And I know my mom has huge bone density problems. I am not getting younger. I need to be looking at my bone density. And, you know, their website has this free tool where you can actually register for a bone density test. I thought it was fantastic. And they were paying me to actually post a photo on Instagram. So I think it worked out really well. These are concerns that actually concern me. The brand, it took a lot of back and forth because they had a message that they wanted me to write. And I was like, no, that doesn't work. I need to write this. I need to disclose that this is, you know, a client activity and things like that. So it took a lot of back and forth. The agency finally pushed through. And LV, E-L-E-V, thanks guys. Finally, after what, three years of God knows how many emails, but it worked finally. I'm so glad, my God. And if you have an agency in the middle, then maintaining a relationship is a problem then. Because now, look, I did the gig. I was told that Horlicks really liked what I did, but are they going to maintain a relationship with me? I highly doubt it. Because first of all, I had no direct contact with them. It was all through the agency. And the agency, I think, has too many things on their head to actually maintain a relationship with any one particular influencer anyway. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. I was going to talk about how to find influencers. What was the next one? Yeah, my next topic was supposed to be how to find influencers, which I think I will now discuss in the next one. I will need to make some notes for this as well, because it's not just a simple answer where I can just talk about it and be done with it. But yeah, thank you for listening, and I hope you're enjoying this Influencer Marketing for Brand series. If you're a brand and if you have any questions, please feel free to get in touch with me on email. Initial consultations are free. I can talk to you on the phone for a good 10-15 minutes. And then if you think that I might be able to provide any value, I'm available for hire. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.